I will keep my eyes above the waves and rest in your embrace. Whew. I could tell myself that probably all day. Yeah. Well, good morning. If you've been tracking with us the last few weeks, then you know, A, I need a bigger stand because I've got too many things, so I will fidget with it all week or all day. You won't be here all week, I promise. But this morning, okay? And that we've been talking about this concept of discipleship, like, specifically. Yes, every week we come and we get to open the Word, and it has this, you know, discipleship factor. We're always being discipled. We're always learning. But what does it look like specifically? And so we looked at discipleship as a call to follow. What is a disciple? Who do we follow? And what does it mean to follow well? We looked at discipleship as a call to serve, inward transformation, followed by outward demonstration. And then we talked about how there's actually no exclusions. See, because how we serve is different based on our giftings and our seasons of life and our talents and personalities, but we serve all people because Jesus served all people first. So if you miss those, then you're like, man, sounds good. Then you can find them on our church website, okay? But this week we're going to unpack discipleship, a call to persevere. And I kind of feel a little bit like Jonah this morning, where I'm like, God, I know that you've given me a word, and I don't want to bring it. And that is because it's raw and it's real, and I feel it's what we actually need. And so this morning, I just want to let you know that I'm here and I'm going to be a little bit more vulnerable with you. And I just, as your church family, like we're a body of believers, we're a family, I pray that you would just give me grace through that. But persevere, there's this like Greek word, hupomone, sounds a lot more exciting than it is. But it kind of draws three words. So you can find it throughout the Bible, and it's linked to persevere, to endure, and to be steadfast. And so you and I can understand it as to like continue in the course of action even under difficult circumstances, but it actually means to like abide under, to like be under, to just keep going no matter what it is that you're going through. So this morning, in order to look at this concept of discipleship, a call to persevere, we're going to camp in Hebrews. Now, the author of Hebrews doesn't actually identify himself, and that's really not like the biggest thing we need to know. What most theologians and scholars will tell you is that it was written to encourage a group of discouraged believers drifting from real Christianity by bolstering their commitment to draw near to God and endure in commitment to Christ. Encourage discouraged believers, okay? Believers who may be drifting from the real focus of Christianity. Perfect. By bolstering their faith so that they would once again draw near to God. So what or why? They may persevere in their relationship with Jesus. Because being a disciple, we talked about, is a call to follow. That's going to take some perseverance to do. So I'm never, ever surprised when we see things like this and we're like, man, the Hebrew writer wrote this like however long ago, and it's so needed and so true for the church today. And you know why? Because the Word of God is alive and active. Amen. And so, if you have your Bible handy, you can turn and open to Hebrews 12. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3. And if you've been in church for any amount of time, then this is a fairly well-known chunk of Scripture. But let's read it this morning and see what God has for us this day. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, for who the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Discipleship is a call to persevere. And I want to highlight three ways that the text tells us how we can persevere well. And the first is that there's something to be said about the act of, like, throwing off things that hinder us. Okay, like, the writer isn't just saying, like, okay, let's take them off and set them aside, like, you know, how you want your kids or your husband, or even maybe you aren't married and don't have kids and you don't care about your laundry. But there's this idea of, like, when you fold your laundry. And if you're not a laundry folder, it's okay, we can still be friends. But, like, we're not folding it and we're not setting it aside. We're literally taking it off and throwing it. There's this nature of throwing things that is forceful and intentional and requires effort. And it puts distance between whatever that thing is and us. And the distance created means that you're no longer hindered by it. It's no longer slowing you down, getting in your way, distracting you, tripping you up. It's no longer an obstacle to living the life that God has intended for you. Your job, spouse, vacation, friends, pets, universities, hobbies, kids, whatever good things are in your life, they also need to bow to Jesus. Because we live in a distracted age. We also have our time and our attention spans that have become a commodity. And they're sold across different platforms. I mean, you name it, Netflix, Facebook, Instagram, so on. Jeff and I the other night were reliving the days when you got the TV guide and paper, okay? We still know. But we're busy and we're hurried and we're bombarded with the pressures of hustle culture, and we live lives with little to no margin. And so although any of these things listed are and can be good, if it takes away from Jesus as your number one priority, then it's a hindrance. And here's the catch. This verse that we have been reading also says, and let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Man, this verse talks about the human condition. Whew. Not only can good things distract us from our relationship from God, but sin is also a major factor. And even though we confess faith in Jesus, we still get hung up in sin. And the scripture says easily, like easily entangles. Doesn't take much. And so this isn't an excuse to just like operate in sin because we're weak, but it's there so that we can be self-aware, that we can surround ourselves in community and have people who love us keep us accountable and pray for the Spirit to strengthen us so that we will see sin for what it really is, so that we will become uncomfortable with our sin, not living guilt or shame, because there's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ, but to realize that it's going to take effort, throwing it off, to put distance between us and our sin. See, we can't save ourselves. We know that. That was Jesus' job. But we do have a responsibility to, like, walk it out well. And yet the voices in our society proclaim that if it feels good, you should do it, that your happiness is your greatest priority, that you can decide what's true for you, that your purpose in life is to discover your identity. And let's be honest, there are so many other loud lies out there. Society is loud, and everywhere we look or turn, we can hear and see the noise. But if I'm going to become uncomfortable with my sin, then the voice of truth needs to be the loudest voice in my life. And that means I can't afford to put off time with God in his word, in worship, in prayer, but also learning to cultivate a rhythm of rest and silence and solitude with the Lord. Why do we throw off the things that hinder us and the sin that so easily entangles us, so that we may run with perseverance the race marked out before us. See, God has a race marked out for you and for me. I don't know if this summer you had the chance to watch any of the Summer Olympics. I normally don't. Like, I am a Winter Olympics person. But we were visiting my husband's Nana, and so we had the Olympics on. And there's, like, these runners, and, like, it's incredible. But what they do when they race is they race in, like, these little lanes. Tiny. And each athlete must stay in their own lane in order to compete. So as a side note, if you're going to run the race well, make sure you're running in the right lane. Make sure you're running your race. Don't compare your life to those around you. You have been called for a time such as this to follow Jesus in a season and live life that he has for you. Hard seasons of life will come for each of us, and they'll all look different. Like, can we just take a moment to remember that life was actually hard before the pandemic? Like, there are challenges we face every day that have nothing to do with COVID. And so, it will take endurance to continue to follow Jesus despite what is going on around your life. And if you're stuck in perpetual sin, or you're distracted by all these great things, or you're trying to run someone else's race, then most likely you won't finish well. But instead, throw off everything that hinders you. Throw it off. And the sin that so easily entangles you, and run with perseverance the race marked out before each of us. That leads me to my second way, or the second point, is how you can persevere well. And it's fix your eyes on Jesus. We sang the song, you know, keeping our eyes above the waves, and we know the story, maybe, maybe not, but about Peter. And Peter walked on water when Jesus called him out until he stopped looking at Jesus. You gotta fix your eyes on Jesus. One of my mentors as a teen once told me that attitude reflects leadership. Who is leading you? Where are you looking for your hope, for your help, for your guidance? Who are you giving your worship and affection to? Because it's only by fixing our eyes on Jesus that we see things with his perspective. I gotta admit, like, wading through life right now with God's grace and perspective is hard. The pandemic is hard. I know that I am made in the image of God, just like each of you. I've been equipped with a brain, and it's capable of forming thoughts and opinions and thinking critically. However, we still live in a broken world, and our bodies will fail us. Our will is not necessarily the Father's will, and so I have to hold my thoughts and perspectives and critical thinking in light and perspective of what it means to fix my eyes on Jesus, so that I can begin to think maybe and grasp just a little bit, like, what is God actually up to during this season of life? An example of this was last week. I was driving home, mulling over some of the latest news, and weighing kind of both sides of this new rules that are rolling out. And I felt conflicted. Like, I was sitting and driving and thinking. I like to drive and think. And I was just like, man, God, I don't even know how I should feel or think. Like, I see both sides, and as someone in a position of leadership, like, all I want is for us to love each other well in the midst of our thoughts and opinions, and I have my own, and I just don't even know. And so I was thinking and driving, and I just felt God whisper to me so clear and ask me a question. And he said, are you more concerned with your earthly rights or your kingdom responsibilities? Are you more concerned about your earthly rights or your kingdom responsibilities? And I was like, oh, Lord, like, why you gotta get me so good? Like, see, we can have our thoughts and opinions, but at the end of the day, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus and keep first things first. Remember, we talked about it a few weeks ago. Being a disciple means laying down my will, picking up my cross. We're told to pray for God's will. And so it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. It's only by keeping our eyes and our minds on what it is that Jesus has done and how he did it that we will be able to not grow weary and lose heart. Because Jesus knows what it is to be betrayed, to be broken, to be tempted, to be human. And yet we persevere knowing not only was he fully human, but he was fully God. And he now sits at the right hand of the Father in glory, interceding for us, and one day will return. Now I could get an amen. Like, come on. That is great news. We can keep going because he's coming back. And finally, we can persevere because of the gift of faith. Hebrews 11 is referred to as the faith chapter. And I want to just take time to look at a couple things in it this morning. See, it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And it goes on to talk about the faith of Abel and the faith of Enoch, and it talks about the faith of Noah and Abraham and Sarah. And it goes on to say, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. And it goes back to talk about Jacob and Isaac and Joseph, and it talks about Moses. And it continues on. And it tells you about, like, these Old Testament people that we look to, and we kind of like, man, they had faith. But then it gets to this really like weird and uncomfortable part. And it's like, what more shall I say? For time would fail me to also tell you of Gideon and Samson and David and Samuel and prophets. And they go on and say that through faith, some of them conquered kingdoms and enforced justice and obtained promises and stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and were made strong out of weakness, and became mighty in war, and put foreign armies to flight. Man, that is some awesome faith. But then it goes on, and it also says, others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They were destitute, afflicted, and mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God provided something better for us, meaning Jesus, because which apart from, they could not be made perfect. And so we have this chapter in the Old Testament. You should read it through, like in full. I didn't want to put anyone to sleep this morning, so I just read some highlights. But of Old Testament heroes who lived well. But the truth is, each of them were human and fallible too, and we read about that part of their lives. And this chapter is about faith. But more than that, the kind of faith that in verse 13 says, they didn't always experience victory on this side of heaven. And yet they had faith anyway. Who are the great cloud witnesses that surround us? Chapter 11 tells us before we got to our scripture that those who were commended by their faith who have gone before us. You don't run the race alone. There are people who have gone before you, who have persevered well, that you can look to. And some of them received victory and others suffered. Yet all of them had great faith and persevered until the end because each journey was different. And here's something I love and I want to pick up and highlight. My Bible says that Jesus is the author and the perfecter of my faith. Jesus is the author and the perfecter of your faith. The author and perfecter. See, we can't conjure up enough faith in our own strength. It is through relationship with Jesus that our faith grows and matures and deepens and becomes this unshakable faith that is spoken about in chapter 11. And so I want to take a moment to just tell you about a time in my life where God was able to grow my faith. Some of you have heard it, others of you haven't. I grew up as kind of this kid who always just like believed in God. Like I just really had faith from the beginning. I don't remember a time in my life where I didn't believe in God. And there was this transition between like middle school and high school where I really started to understand what it meant to have like a personal relationship with Jesus, and things shifted. And I went through life and I had challenges and obstacles and attitude and I learned things. And God has been molding me for years, not as long as some of you here. I hope I have the opportunity. But like, there's this idea in my own life that like, I've just always had faith. And it's always been easy for me to say like, man, God is good and God is faithful. But about just over 3 years ago, I had this crisis of faith. See, my sister-in-law and my brother were expecting their first baby. And she went into labor, like, early. She started to have some complications. And, like weeks early. And they weren't so much worried about the baby, but they were worried about her. And it actually was just, like, a day or two after the tragic crash with the Humboldt Broncos. And so, like, as a youth pastor and someone who had brothers who played sports, I was, like, shook by that and kind of going, oh, God, like, that's big and that's heavy. And then we face this personal thing where we're going, what is going on? And I remember getting up that night because I couldn't sleep and just sitting on my couch in the dark praying. And I won't go into the details, but the point is that we thought we'd lose her. And then we didn't. And you're like, wow, that's great. And it just felt like, okay, man, God, you came through. That's awesome. But I couldn't just like move on. I was shook. Because all I could think about was that if she had died, could I, loving God, living a life for God the way that I have, look my brother in the eye and tell him that God is still good? And I didn't know the answer. And the fact that I didn't know the answer shook me, because I've always felt like I have faith. I've never felt like it's been hard to love Jesus. And I felt ridiculous because God came through and we were blessed with a miracle, and yet I was stuck with this doubt and this crisis of faith. And I'm like leading youth. Like, I'm in ministry. I'm living life, and I'm like, what? Like, how can I be in this position in my life? Like, why? Why is it so hard for me? But I didn't quit wrestling. See, I could have very easily just been like, oh, it's fine, Tiff. Like, you're overreacting. Move on. Like, but for me, that was real. And so I had to go to Jesus, and it was only by going to Jesus and being honest about where I was at with my doubts and my questions and my hurt and my anger that I was able to deepen my trust in God and increase my faith. It took time, and it took being intentional, and it took pressing in when I wanted to run away. It took relying on the innermost circle of friends in my life to speak the truth I already knew back to me, to remind me of God's promises and when he has been faithful before. And honestly, it took a really good Christian counselor, like Jesus and therapy. And don't say that lightly. Because I'm so glad that I didn't have to muster the strength to have faith on my own. And my increased faith has been a gift from Jesus. Like, he walked me through the mess. And friend, Jesus wants to increase your faith so you can persevere and walk through whatever it is that your mess is. Whatever it is you're facing, you don't have to be strong enough to keep the faith alone. Like, go to him and let him give you faith, his faith. Let him perfect it. Let him increase it. Let him rewrite it. Doesn't mean that you're going to see victory on this side of our heaven. But it does mean that you'll persevere in commitment and your relationship with Jesus and your life will look a whole lot different. The last few weeks, I've left you guys with some questions. But this week, I want to pray for you. And so the team's going to come up and they're going to play a song. See, discipleship is a call to persevere. And we do that by throwing off the things that hinder us, by fixing our eyes on Jesus and accepting the gift of faith that comes from Christ alone. And so today I want to pray. And I want to pray for you guys. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, like, here are some things that maybe you're facing. And then if you want just generic prayer, just stand. We're not going to touch each other or come to the front because it's weird and we want to respect people in all sorts of comfort levels. And so today I want to pray for any of you, those who feel stuck in habitual sin. Man, there is freedom. Walk with someone. Pray. Find the strength. I want to pray for you guys who need to fix your eyes on Jesus. And whether that's because the race you're running feels too hard, or whether it's because the noise in your life is too loud, or maybe it's because you've been living a lot more concerned with your earthly rights than your kingdom responsibilities, and you need God to flip your priorities. And I also want to pray for you, though, who need the gift of faith. Whatever it is, like, we have hope in Jesus and his return. And we have faith that he will come through, that God is faithful. We have faith because he is faithful, but we don't know if we'll see victory on this side of heaven. And so I want to pray for you if whatever it is you're walking through feels too big, because he promises to go before us, to walk with us, to never leave us or forsake us. And so if that's you, if you just mean, like, God, I just need a touch because life is hard, would you stand and let's pray. And then we're going to worship one more time and close. God, Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning and we ask that your Holy Spirit would be poured out on every person who has stood in this building, every person at home who wishes that they could be seen and known for for what it is they're going through. Just touch them. Give them the strength. Give them your faith to run well. Whether that's freedom from sin, whether that's faith in the midst of the unknown, whether that's a friend to navigate the mess with. God, life is hard, and you know because you were here, and you are here. And we want to be disciples who follow well, and not for our own glory, for your glory, so that the message of hope is spread in our families, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our community. God, whether it's for health and healing or provision or relationships, you know. And so, Jesus, as we cry out to you, as one family and one body, God, we believe, but would you help our unbelief? Church, I want you to just worship here and just tell him what's going on, and he will meet you. Oh, church, would the Lord bless you and keep you this week. And if you are feeling discouraged, if you're having a hard time being able to persevere, would you reach out? And if you know someone who stood today that you're friends with, that you feel comfortable, just call them this week. Ask them how you can help. Love each other. Love you, church. Amen.